Thank you, Pastor Wes. Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Bubble, eh? Do we live in a bubble? Let's see how big our bubble is, okay? I have been asked to come and speak to you this morning on an issue that is gaining momentum probably faster than anything I have ever seen in my work as far as defending and protecting family rights and parental rights across Canada. And once the Lord showed me, and I've probably shared this in the past as I've spoken, that, you know, we as Christians are called to a certain place in our community. And we continuously fail because we've been beaten down, we've been called names, we've found it easier just to stay in our walls. We've been told that you don't have a right to participate. And today I'm going to tell you that kind of thinking is all wrong. And this is what has caused us to be in the place that we're in today. The good news is, out of all the years I've done things, including getting rid of governments, because one person took a stand and traveled around the province, back in 1997, the NDP government brought in very much a pro-LGBTQ agenda. And I want to say first and foremost at the onset, these agendas really don't have anything to do with LGBTQ issues. They're the Trojan horse that comes in designed to cause disruption, designed to cause dysfunction within your home, designed to rob your children from the truth that God has given them. So when we talk about these issues, I don't want anyone saying, oh, we have to be loving and all that. This isn't what this issue is about, people. That's the Trojan horse. That's the propaganda. That's the conditioning that you guys have been conditioned to believe in. Think about it. The Word of God says nothing good dwelleth in this flesh, right? It's capable of anything. Being gay, engaging in all kinds of sexual perversions. The Word of God tells us. So we buy into this language. Oh, gay. Oh, transgender. We put labels on people. Don't fall into the trap of identity politics, people. We have to change our thinking, and we need to get informed. So when this issue was dropped in my lap back in late May, I was asked to come speak to a group of parents about what was happening, this SOGI thing. And I will tell you, after 2001, what we did is I traveled around the province, and I galvanized people, and mostly the world, because the church was very hesitant to come out at that point. Oh, Carrie, we don't want people to think we're anti-gay. We don't want this. We want to be loving. We want to be embracing. We want to be all things to all people. So we kind of left them in the dust, and it was the world that came out. When I went to Terrace, 800 people came out to hear us speak. Bevan Park Arena in Nanaimo, filled to capacity. Everywhere we went, the world was hungry for truth. And I want to encourage you as Christians, be the salt and light in your community. The world is hungry for leadership.
Amen.
So what happened in 2001, we rose up within each constituency, different people that we knew would be good, and we saw a majority NDP government get obliterated. They were left with two seats when we finished with them. Democracy is a gift. God has placed you here for a time such as this. Unwrap the present. You have a voice. We are the head. We are not the tail. And I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to invite you today to take a step out and see what God will do when his people actually apply the word, because I'm sure we're all good here. We can recite scripture. We can say we're the head, we're not the tail. We know where that is. We can say, my people will perish for lack of knowledge, but does that galvanize you to understand why God warns us about that? Well, I'm going to give you an example today. So back in May, this parent called me from one of the fundamental schools in Langley, said, Carrie, what's all this SOGI stuff? They want us to celebrate diversity, inclusivity. Aren't those nice sounding words? Well, we need to know that the devil doesn't come in wearing horns and a red cape and said, I'm here to destroy your children. Again, we're equipped with this because we have the Word of God. Now I'm going to give you real life examples. So that weekend, I took some time. I was supposed to speak on Tuesday. I got a call from Judy back there on a Friday, I believe it was. And I honestly had taken about 3 years off. It gets hard being out on the front lines with everybody going, we're behind you, Carrie, way behind you. And, you know, always pulling people along. And quite honestly, and I owe everybody here an apology. I owe you an apology because I thought, well, if we put all these good people in leadership roles, get them elected, then they will stand strong. They will remember why we did this. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way for your pastors either. So I'm going to put a calling on this church to stand strong behind your pastor. Because if this church rises up and engages, there will be attacks. There will be some division. But you know what? It's usually two or three troublemakers, okay? And I can tell you there is a mighty thing happening. When the group of volunteers, and we've had a lot of town hall meetings now, we've had rallies, we've had meetings in large places, and hundreds of people are coming out. Sometimes they don't let us have the buildings, and we have to quickly, within 2 hours, find another building to house 300 people. It's been a very interesting challenge. But God is doing something. Amen. The volunteer group said, oh, Carrie, we have to get to the pastors. And I've been doing this for too many decades now to tell you. But put it this way, I can remember walking down the halls in 1986 of the legislature, okay? Yeah. And they said, oh, let's have a pastor's meeting. And I thought, oh, guys, let's not waste our time. I'm all about momentum, moving forward, getting things done that need to be done. And the thing that needs to be done about this is telling people what's going on. Each one of you has a talent and ability that you will bring to your calling. But all of you have the mandate of Ephesians 5:11 that says, expose the fruitless deeds of evil. Do not be part of them. So when they said, oh, let's have a pastor's meeting, I thought, whatever, you know, maybe five, right? And driving to that meeting just down the road here, I thought, okay, if we get 16 to 20, we're doing good here. When I stood up to speak, there were 89 pastors. Amen. Amen. A week and a half ago, we had a pastor's lunch. 189 showed up, people. Amen. The church is waking up and rising up and fulfilling its proper mandate within this country we call Canada. Amen. So when I got into this in May, I just took a weekend to find out what was going on so I could speak intelligently on what was happening. I had taken 3 years off to build a business because quite often I end up funding the war as well as doing the war. It just seems to be my lot in life. So 3 years ago, I had said to some business friends of mine, I said, look, if we do this and we'll, so they said, you want us to invest an obscene amount of money, Carrie, and then you're going to give away to pro-family, pro-life causes? I said, yeah. They said, okay. But the time for that was a five-year plan. We were 3 years into that when this hit. My timing and God's rarely meets on the same level. So I have stepped away from the business and dedicated my time and energy and resource to fighting this war on behalf of children and this nation. So when I came across Soji, I thought, what the heck has gone on here? And over that weekend, I dug and I followed rabbit trails down the internet. And this is a concerted effort. We've all seen it coming. We've seen it coming. We know it's coming. But it's here, and it's orchestrated, and it's funded, and it's entrenched already. We have time. We have to make up here. So sexual orientation, gender identity is the new rebrand of LGBTQ. There were getting to be too many pluses, pluses, pluses. So now we just have this concise little term. And you will see that this is a global movement. We're going to flip through the cards fast because there's a lot to go through. So what happened last summer, as unbeknownst to anybody, especially those of us that watch politics, they held a special sitting of the legislature, and they amended the Human Rights Code now to include gender identity. Now, it didn't need to be entered because it was already covered over sexual orientation, but they wanted the terms there so that they could do and move this curriculum into the schools. So as you can see, that's Christy Clark and the then Attorney General Susan Anton and three transgendered individuals in the back. Somehow 150 sex activists found out about this when nobody else knew about it. They gave it all three readings and passed committee in one day. The BC Liberals, Christy Clark, ordered every one of her MLAs to vote for this. One trustee spoke up against it. Marvin Hunt sort of spoke up against it. Lori Thornis, really from Chilliwack, gave it the gears. But none of them voted against it. So on the Hansard record, it says it was passed unanimously. So what happened then, and even though all this is happening, and we'll just click through, is the next thing the Minister of Education announces that every local school board has to include gender identity into its policy now. Unheard of. The reason why we have local school boards is so that we as a community can define what's important for us and our kids. But this edict came down from the minister. So you'll see Brad Beatty from the ARC Foundation, keep with that name, Doug Lawson, Susan Anton, Mike Bernier, and Glenn Hansman, the BC Teachers Federation Union. The unions are very much behind this. More chaos you create, more need for school counselors, unionized, more unionized social workers, more unionized government healthcare workers, the list goes on. More unionized work for putting in bathrooms and change rooms and all the things that flow from this. So at this announcement, very concerning to me, was the Federation of Independent Schools, who Doug Lawson represents, saying that the private schools were in agreement with this as well. Now, does he know what's really involved in this? Probably not, but they should have called and asked. We could have told them. So I immediately phoned some of the groups that make up the Federation of Independent Schools and basically said, what the heck are you doing? So there, fortunately, now is a lot of pushback to what Doug Lawson has done here. So then the next thing we see is, in addition, the ARC Foundation. Okay, the ARC Foundation, I'm going, since when does a private charity get involved in public education? There's a memorandum of agreement between the two. Well, who the heck is the ARC Foundation? ARC Foundation is three men, gay, Robert Quartermain, who's a well-to-do mining executive, who, in addition to funding this particular movement within the schools, also funds the Queer Film Festival. This is who our Minister of Education is partnering with. Okay? So ARC Foundation is SOGI 123. In addition to what they did with the Memorandum of Understanding, they also bought a seat, a department, at the University of BC faculty, and they've created a department called TEFA, Teacher Education for All. And this is where all the indoctrination for every single teacher is going on now. Every teacher has to buy into this if they want to graduate and teach within the school system, public, private, independent, whatever. The Queer Film Festival is a charity known as Out on Screen. It has two components, the Queer Film Festival and Out in Schools. Out in Schools has been active in the Surrey District for 10 years now. We exposed what was going on in 2011. Nobody was interested. We exposed the kids going to a gay porn party called Fierce and Fabulous because they made videos with this group. The poor parents had no idea. There they got to play games like lesbian debauchery and the queriotic table, which is the scientific table, basically pornized. Okay? This is what's happening in your schools. Next one. This is the mandate of what SOGI and the ARC Foundation says. And if anybody wants these slides in this PowerPoint, just let the ladies know out back when you leave. You can have it. So this is what the ARC Foundation says. Our current focus is the SOGI Education Initiative, a collaboration with other community leaders to create a school environment where all students can learn and develop authentically, free from societal bias. Well, guess what this church is? Societal bias, okay? The values, the moral guidelines that you give your kids. These teachers are saying, children, you're free from that. Who are they to impose those kinds of constraints on you? This is a hedonistic political cult. That there are a lot of game players that have an interest in this. Think about Big Pharma. Think about all the kids on birth control. Think about all the morning after pills. Think about all the sexually transmitted diseases. Syphilis is at a 30-year high in Vancouver right now among young gay men, 19 to 24. You know, most of us as Christians say sex ed's not working. Well, we can prove it now. Throat cancer among young gay men through the roof. And who pays for that? We do. The kids here. And that's why I say, you young people, you need to rise up because this is what you're inheriting. We went to an educational program at Lord Byng Secondary. I had heard about it through the teacher magazine called Sex at Lunch. Gosh, been a while since I did that. Better go have that. Actually, no, yeah, I know. Just think about it, people. No, I mean in the school, okay? As a matter of fact, I don't think I ever remembered something like that happening at the schools. Apparently at Christmas time, they hang condoms from the gym roof. They do all these kinds of things. So I thought, geez, I got to go see this. So I called up a friend of mine, and she's another great warrior. I said, Sissy, we need to go to this Sex at Lunch. She says, Carrie, I haven't had such an exciting invitation in a long time. So knowing we might get kicked out, and it's all the way in Vancouver, I thought, okay, let's have a plan B. So we developed a document for the kids, because we're going to hand the kids out. We are at a point where the kids have to be equipped. We have failed you, young people. We have failed you. We have not equipped you for this world to be the salt and light. We just set you out there and said, survive. But we can't do that anymore. There's no escape. We have to equip the church. We have to equip our young people. We have to have the words, the language, and the courage to be engaged in what is happening around us. So we created a two-sided document. One said, be a true ally. Pledge 5% of your first paycheck to your LGBTQ friends. Think about it. Think about the cost associated with irresponsible sexual behavior. How much does it cost to have 30% of those people cured of syphilis? How much does it cost to have throat cancer paid for through our budgets? There are nonprofit organizations. I took 20 minutes and just looked at the BC nonprofit organizations. $40 million to support LGBTQ-related things. Okay? Your money, your grandkids' money, your kids' money going to pay for this. Now, I agree with Trudeau. You know, the state has no business in the bedrooms of the nation, although he said something more. He said, unless it involves children or is done in public, we never hear that part. But why are the bedrooms of the nation attached to my wallet? Okay? There's a drug that's coming out. Adrian Dix has just announced. It's going to cost you $5,000 or $15,000 per person per year. And that's so guys can engage in risky behavior. Okay? You're going to be paying for that. Okay, at what point do we say, no, I'm all for free will. Free will, God gave me free will. I can go mess up my life, but I don't expect other people to pay for it. Amen. And we need to, as a group, say, this is getting out of control. So we handed out, be a true ally. On the other side, it said, are you tired of sex activism in your school? Yes. Take pictures, take recordings, give it to Culture Guard. We will deal with these people that are abusing the public education system because it is an abuse. This is a political agenda, and the School Act prohibits this kind of sectarian politics from transpiring. Enough is enough. So we went to Sex at Lunch, and we were there early, and a woman in tight jeans and red stiletto heels greeted us with suckers that she handed out to the kids. Oh, well, what are you doing here? Oh, we heard about this, and it was the end of the school year, so they were doing a special event. A quiz, Reach for the Top, teachers against students. Okay? So we got in there early. We sat down. Beautiful auditorium in this school. You know, I mean, old-style theater. Beautiful. And as we sat there, hundreds of kids started pouring in. And their parents don't know this is going on. This is not on the public calendar for the school. Hundreds of kids pour in. And then the event starts. Well, I hit the record button on my phone, of course. As the teachers stand up to remind the kids, now remember, we're not recording any of this. None of this goes on social media because, God forbid, your parents might find out. Can't have that. And then the event starts. And these are important questions for kids to know. You know, what do you call adults who dress up and engage in relations in animal costumes? You know, important stuff like that. Okay? And it went on and on, and I'm not going to go into too many details because there's young people here, but there was nothing about health-related issues, trust me. It was all about activity, where you can get the morning after pill at midnight, and it went on and on for 40 questions. You can read about it on Culture Guard. At the end of the event, as a thank you, the teacher held up a bottle of sex lube to give to the teachers who participated in it. This is happening in our public education system. So, of course, I took a picture and then all hell broke loose. You can't be doing that. I said, like heck I can. Public school, this needs to be reported. This is almost criminal behavior, if not criminal behavior, because you're not allowed to sexually exploit children. Okay? And there needs to be accountability. So we got up, and now we're handing out our papers, and all the teachers there are quite upset. Others are giving us the thumbs up, about time somebody did this. Okay? Because within every institution, you'll have three or four people who really push these agendas, but the majority are on our side of things, but they're too afraid to say anything. We need to embolden those people. We need to support those people. Next slide. So SOGI 1, 2, 3, there's two components to this. So when we brought in the amendment to the Human Rights Act, a group of people said, oh, now we can bring it into the schools. There is no mandate to bring SOGI-related materials in. Yet the Ministry of Education has gone into partnership with SOGI 1, 2, 3 to do just that. Okay? Your local school board still has the power to approve resources, and this is a resource that the government obviously wants in. So what do they see a SOGI classroom being like? We'll go to the next slide. So there's three components: the policy, the environment, and the lesson plans. So in cahoots with the Ministry of Education, the BC Teachers Federation, okay, and SOGI 1, 2, 3, here's some of the goals that they want to see happen within your schools. Okay, next slide. And I'm not going to pull all of them because there's too many. I'll be taking too long. But I'll give you some of the highlights. Three, self-identification. Students have the right to self-identification, which includes the name by which they wish to be addressed and their preferred pronouns that correspond with their gender identity. Sorry, people. No, they don't. Children have a legal name, and you as the parent get to do it. Now, I know that there's a lot of them associated with the Ministry of Children and Family. They're buying into this. A lot of the teachers are buying into this. But a lot of teachers are saying, no way. And since we started the resistance movement, they have been calling us and thanking us for doing what we're doing. Now, there's this movement about the spectrum. Girls don't have to be girls anymore. Boys don't have to be boys. You can be somewhere in between if you want, which is nonsense. Okay? This is the new trend. It's a new fad. And most of you who go to school now, and I get this all the time for teenagers, oh, half of my girlfriends claim to be bi. You know? Things that we never heard of before because this we have sexualized not only our culture, but our schools. And it's time to say, no more. So pronouns are a big thing right now. Grandmother called me and she said, Carrie, I have to tell you a story. Because when you choose your gender, you can also decide whether you want to be identified as a he, a her, a they, a them, a their, a z, and there's a whole list of new words, okay? So this grandmother called up, she said, Carrie, my 12-year-old grandson, I brought him aside, I said, Aiden, there's some things you need to know about what's going to be happening in school this year, and I want you to be prepared. And she goes, it's all this gender identity. He says, Grandma, he said, the first day of school, I had to stand up, say, my name is Aiden, and I go by this pronoun. Okay? Do not allow your children to engage in adopting this new culture, this new language. Tell them, my name is Aiden, and God made me special.
Amen.
Okay? Don't let your kids be party to this insanity. And if a teacher asks them, then you as a parent, you go and deal with the teacher. Okay? Enough of this being scared that Johnny's going to be traumatized or picked on because you go and take the teacher to task. No more. They will respect you, and you will save every child in that classroom from this insanity by speaking up. Because the other side, when confronted, backs down pretty quick. Confidentiality. Students have the right to confidentiality of their official and or preferred sex, gender, and name. No, they do not. The School Act says you as a parent have the right to know about your child's behavior. Amen. Now, the BC Teachers Federation is putting these lies into people's heads and a few other things. And, you know, you tell a lie enough, people start to believe it. Expose the fruitless deeds of evil. It is a lie. Any child that has these issues, the parent has a right to know, because you know what? 86 to 90% of the kids going through a gender identity crisis as a teen, if allowed to go through puberty, will return to their innate birth biological sex. And that was before we started telling them they can do this. Imagine all you girls here who were a bit of tomboys, you know? And you had a teacher who said, well, you know, maybe you identify more as a male. Because that's what's happening today. If you were a boy, as one of the dads told me as I'm coming in, well, I kind of like doing nerdy stuff, dolls, you know? What if he had been identified as a female? Okay, that's what is going on in our classes today. We've redefined sexism. Sexism isn't about equal pay for equal jobs. Sexism now is, well, anytime anybody says you can't do this because you're a girl, well, hello, commercial pilot, my great aunts ran the mines. We've never had those issues. This is a manufactured problem. And you know what? Never do we hear the importance about motherhood. Pregnancy is a problem. You deal with the problem by killing the baby. That's the message our young women are getting. No, motherhood is a special gift. And if a trans man wants to call himself a woman, no way. You ain't got what I got, dude. And we need to be bold, people. We need to confront it because we're losing ground on this. Because we buy into the game. I don't play the name game. And if you want to haul me up before the Human Rights Commission, I've been there. The sex activists hauled me up. And then they got so scared I had to subpoena the complainants to show up at their own case. Okay, let's do this, people. Enough. We have a vision for our community. We have a vision for the society. We have a vision for this nation. Make it happen. So this is nonsense. We'll go to the next one. Dress guidelines. You know, remember when girls couldn't wear spaghetti straps and your shorts had to be an inch longer than your fingers, you know, those kinds of things? Those days are over. Anything goes now. Students can express their gender identity or gender expression through what they wear to school. Like, when did math and English and grammar come into this, right? A dress code should be as all-inclusive as possible, which may include removing pronouns, you know, these coveted pronoun things. And I have videos. Go to Culture Guard, get on our email list, and you will be given the equipment and the tools to see how much lunacy is really going on out there, because it's way worse than what I'm showing you here. Next slide. So this is a Brookswood student last year. Okay? Dressing up as drag. Okay? This is what's going on in our schools. And you know what's sad about this? Is not one of these teachers had the courage to say to these parents, you know, if you just tell them, you know, give it a few years, don't go on the puberty blockers. You know, you're going to come out. You're going to have an 86% chance of coming out okay on this. And you know what's even more tragic? Is that the parents that indulge this, and yes, there are parents who are indulging this. We have a father in Langley who paid for his 13-year-old daughter to have her breasts removed. Okay? There's a new big trend now among kids, because we're behind on this. It's called detransitioning. One of the videos you'll get in Facebook, if you really want to keep up to speed on things, this beautiful girl, and you could tell she's come from a hard place, 22 years old. Her name's Carrie, spelled with a C. And she's so articulate, but you can see her still trying to figure out life. And she transitioned to a male, and now she's detransitioning. But this video, it's only 3 to 4 minutes, it shows you how she had to ignore all the chat that was coming. She said, you know, I thought when I started taking testosterone and changed my name to a male name, that would satisfy me. But that wasn't enough. So then I had the mastectomy. But that still wasn't enough. So I had a hysterectomy. So now we have a 22-year-old beautiful girl, sterile, perfectly healthy body parts cut away from her. It is the most pervasive form of child abuse that I have ever encountered that is being sanctioned, and you are paying for it. Okay? You're paying for it. Transition surgeries are paid for, except when you want to jump the queue like this father did. And you know, my heart breaks, because I know had that girl been allowed to go through puberty, she would have had an 86 to 90% chance to return back to her innate birth. But you know what? This guy's all over the media, using his child as a poster child for this movement. But you know what? He doesn't tell the whole truth. He doesn't talk about the horrendous divorce his kids were having to experience between him and his wife. He doesn't tell people that he was a bully in his house. He doesn't tell people that he preferred his son over his daughter. And when kids are in that mayhem and that mess and that abuse, some will do crazy things like, well, maybe if I'm a boy, maybe my dad will love me more. But you know what? We've lost our ability to speak into people's lives about healthy situations. And we need to do that. We need to say, if we love kids enough, if we love our society, we need to start saying kids deserve to have a mother and a father. Okay? Brooks, let's go to the next one. Okay, gender-integrated activities and inclusive activities. This means that a 17-year-old male who wants to put a wig on can now join your daughter's volleyball team, or if your daughter happens to be on an all-girl team and goes to provincials, could encounter two guys on the other team because they identify as female now. Thank you kindly. I don't want a 17-year-old man smacking down a volleyball on any of my granddaughters. It means they can use the change rooms, too. And we have another problem, because teachers have to get regularly fingerprinted and criminal record checks. But that's done now if they match the sex registry, you know, the perverts. And they only go by birth, okay, birth date, and gender. So a guy comes out who's a registered sex offender, pedophile, done his time. He can just put a wig on, because you don't have to have any other criteria now to get your documentation changed to what gender you want. And he can come teach you in your child's school. And you won't know, because the sex registry has him as a him still. Not as, now that he's identifying as a woman. Our sexually transmitted disease statistics. Always men, gay men, high rates. What's going to happen to the female population when these guys say, oh, I'm a woman, you have to put my sexually transmitted disease down as a woman? We're skewing all the information that we need as a healthy society to make decisions about where our monies are going. Okay? Lunacy. You know, and it comes up again. You know the scripture that says, you know, we are not born of a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and sound mind. I always got the power, and I got the no fear. Why, God, did you have sound mind? Now I get it. Now I get it, because the world can go certifiably crazy. And you know what it is? It's because people are afraid to speak up. So the lunatics and those buying into it, I use the word empty-minded now, because it's nicer than idiot, you know. But You know, so whenever I do things publicly on Facebook, you know, you always get the haters. Oh, you bigot, you transphobe, you this and that. Matter of fact, the father of the daughter who was given the mastectomy in a telephone call said, "You're homophobic, transphobic, you are a bigot, and you're probably a climate denier." And you know, I got to thinking, you know, what does the Word of God say about the end times? There will be all kinds of natural disasters. We've been talking about this for a long time. The climate's always changing. But the disasters that they're saying, oh, these are man-made disasters, not according to my book. Okay? You know, there's so much truth in this, but throwing that one out there is like, wow, right? Oh, and I support Trump too, right? Who I kind of like. You know, I admit it. He's rattling, shaking, rolling things up down there. And you know what? There's something better than the status quo when it's called disruption. That's a good thing. So there's a lot of problems with this. Here's a 13-year-old transgendered male to female. Look at the smug look with all the first place ribbons. Do you want your 13-year-old having to compete against a boy with long hair? Okay, because that's what's happening. That's unfair to the kids that are acting normal. And I, you know, I support any adult's right to go put on a dress, put on lipstick. I would defend their right to do so. But don't call yourself a woman and don't use my granddaughter's change room. Okay? I'm easy to get along with, but I have limits. Next one. So classroom materials. These are in the Jacob's new dress, my princess boy. These are classroom materials. The couple at the bottom, they just had a surrogate woman give them a baby, so they're pretending to be parents. That's Spencer Chandler Herbert. He's an MLA. Rami Chandler Herbert, who wrote Out in Schools the first time, and once we kind of said, oh, look, there's a little bit of problem going here, the political thing, suddenly his name disappeared. Drag queens are coming into libraries here in Langley. This one was in Michelle Obama's library. That individual is part of a group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. I'm not going to go into them today, but if you sign up for Culture Guard, you'll find out all about them. And then, of course, we have men who stop transitioning in order to get pregnant. And then once the baby's born, we'll go back to testosterone treatments and those kinds of things. And you see these transitioning men now nursing babies in public to make a statement. Okay? Next one. So the faculties we've already talked about, so this is in the schools. They're saying these kids can use whatever washroom they want. We're saying no. There are legal actions happening, people. We need help. We need financial support. If you want to help us with this war, we need to join together. Next one. So five steps using inclusive language. So this is where the pronouns start happening. Asking kids, little five-year-olds, what pronoun they want to be used by. And this is where teachers are told now not to refer to students as boys or girls, only as students. Moms and dads, you don't exist anymore. That you're vile terminology. So now they refer to as adult or guardian in a child's life. Okay? How much more do we have before we get righteously angry and say no more? These are little five-year-olds that this is going on with, every grade level in multiple subject matters. So next one. So these are the lesson plans at every grade level, the elementary lesson plans. They start in kindergarten going, they want your children and grandchildren to imagine what it would be like to have two dads as a family. Okay? Five-year-olds, you imagine what it would be like to have two dads. Well, for one thing, that's intellectually dishonest because somewhere there's a mom in there. Okay? Why are we lying to five-year-olds? Like, that's pretty low. Imagine what it would be like to have two moms. And they do this under the guise of inclusivity, But they're excluding the kids that have normal situations. As a matter of fact, the teachers are told to debunk the myth that most children live with a mom and dad. Okay? We're lying. It's not even intellectually honest. And you know, somebody said to me, oh, well, you know, from the Christian point of view, this program's so bad, people. It's just child psychology. Forget God's plan of having you being born a male or a female, right? This is just pure, let's disrupt the children. Let's abuse their mind. Let's cause confusion, okay? Then in grade two, they're told that they don't have to be a boy. They don't have to be a girl. They can be anywhere they want to be on the spectrum, yeah? And didn't you know boys are behaving like that because we socialize them to be that way? Naughty parents. Oh, but wait. We're supposed to let them be their authentic selves. So let's let them get louder and more boisterous. There's no continuity through these programs, okay? And it's because there's no logic. It's not coming from a place of wanting healthy kids, healthy societies, and all those kinds of things. It's coming from a place where we want to socially deconstruct our nation. We want to cause disruption. They want you as parents to be so busy trying to fix your kids that you don't have time to be involved politically. Okay? We've seen it before historically. The kids have been used. Sex and drugs. This is nothing new under the sun, people. The question is, what are we going to do about it, my friends? Next one. So here is the, what is the family? So according, this is the kindergarten again. Every family is to be celebrated. Every family is to be respected. Well, okay, how many families, how many of those kids now are coming from drug-addicted homes? Are we going to see their families up to be celebrated? Are we going to have little five-year-olds imagine what it would be like to have an alcoholic mother? Okay, because if we're going to celebrate every family, then let's do it. Let's not be picky and choosy for our political agenda. What about the family where abuse is happening and little kids witness physical violence? Are we going to celebrate them? Are we going to put them up on a poster? Okay? It's intellectually dishonest, it's stupid, and it's about causing destruction within your child's mind, your family, and this nation. Next one. So here's the lesson plans, and this is just another example of how ridiculous this is. Okay, because remember, we're not supposed to refer to boys and girls anymore, so we don't want any gender-specific identity, right? So this is what they tell the teachers. This is right off SOGI 123. Begin by asking students who's in a family. Now, there's issues here, too, about privacy, and should the teacher be investigating your child's family, taking advantage of your five-year-old's lack of ability to say that's private information? So I have that issue. But then the teacher wants to record their ideas along with keywords and picture symbols, i.e. people's heads. Okay, and the rationale for that is so that non-readers can tell who is who. So if you think this exercise out, so what's going to happen? Some kid's going to say, I have a mom and dad. So you're going to put a male and a female up there, right? Well, see, and now the problem happens, right? Because you have to give different identities. So what other identities are there that little kids are going to be aware of? Nothing. So then it goes, be careful not to draw girls and boys in gender stereotypical ways, i.e. stick figures with skirts or pants or using gender colors pink or blue. Okay? You can't have a mom and dad, so you can't do that to identify. It just makes no sense whatsoever. So this is how confusing just these issues. Those books we showed you before, Jacob's New Dress, most people focus on the fact that this is about a little boy who wants to wear a dress to school. But the real problem of that book, and this is read to kids, five-year-olds in their school, the real problem is that Jacob is a bully. Jacob is bullying his parents to get his way. He's acting like a spoiled brat, and the more he acts that way, the more his parents give in to him. Is that the kind of role models you want for your kids in grade kindergarten? I don't think so. Next one. So Tango Makes Three is another very disturbing book. And these are all cute, warm fuzzies, right? Tango is about two young male penguins who do everything together that typical five-year-old boys do. They run, they swim, they play, and then they have a baby together. Okay? We are planting the seeds into the minds of children that are causing confusion. There was a recent article out of Abbotsford News. We're having a good war in Abbotsford right now. They have a radicalized social justice warrior of a reporter, and I call him that often. And he went and interviewed three kids who are so thankful Soji's coming into their schools, and they wish they had been there when they were there. And so how do they identify themselves? Asexual, bisexual, and non-binary, okay? You know, and so I kind of said to them, because I engage them in social media, I said basically, boys, come back in 5 years when your brains have developed, right? You know, because they have been brainwashed. But this is what we're dealing with, and this is the media is giving attention to these things. So we need to bypass the media. Technology is wonderful now, people, because we can just bypass the media, have our own media. Citizens Express goes out from Culture Guard now. It's going to be twice a week, get you informed on things that you really need to know about, and also give you the tools to engage on social media, cut and paste proper responses, those kinds of things. You know, we were shut down from the Bell Performing Arts Center here. The school board said, no, you can't rent this to have a rally. Okay? Human rights complaint right out of the gate, out of my office, okay? I will not be deterred. I will not be discriminated against. And we will have our voices heard. Amen. Heather has two mommies. These books have been around, some of them, for a few years here in the Surrey School District. And I want to talk about this. I think it's time, because this is the other human rights complaint that's coming out of my office in the very near future. And that is the right for us not to be discriminated against when we put our kids into private or independent schools that are going to truly make them healthy, whole, educated kids. Right now, the public system gets between $9,000 and $10,000, depending on where you live, some places a little bit more, for every child enrolled, for instance, in the Surrey School District. If you put your child in a private school, and most of them get around 50% funding, so your child immediately is discriminated against. Time to end that. Why? And why have we put up with that? God did not give the right to the state to educate our kids, people. Okay? And it's time that we take an exodus out of the system. Technology, homeschooling, there is so many different opportunities out there now that accommodate good education, education that will do your children good in the future of their lives. There's cooperative teaching. I have so many teachers begging to come out of the system. Thank you, Carrie, for doing this. We can beam teachers in for online classrooms, all kinds of things. Everywhere I go, the pastors, I say, look, you have these big, beautiful buildings that most of the week are empty. Let's do something. And they're saying, in abundance, we'll do this. We need to change up how things are happening here on a number of fronts, people. You will never fix the public education system 100%. It can be a lot better. But we need to think outside what's been happening now. When I hear the parents, how many Christian parents have kids with, you know, sexual orientation issues? And, you know, one mom said to me, she said, my daughter decided she was going to be a man, and she wanted me to call her Carl, and she said, I refused to. And it really upset the daughter, who was about 20 at the time, had a baby. So Carl left home, left the child, and went off to discover who Carl was. Took 2 years. Carl turned back to Carlene and was thankful for the gender identity journey. Okay? This is what's happening. But my credit to that mom who held her guns on this, right? You are my daughter. You are Carlene. I will never cater to your dysphoria. Think about a child suffering from anorexia. Those children would see themselves as being fat and obese. If we take the same model of what they want us to do with gender identity and gender dysphoria, you should affirm that child in their dysfunctional view of themselves. How many of us would go, right, Jane, you know, you need to lose another 20 pounds off those bones that are showing through your clothes? We wouldn't. And I don't know why when sex comes into it, our brains go on vacation, but that seems to be a problem. So maybe there's some kind of diagnosis for that. I don't know. Okay, so here's the two dads, two moms. Remind them that when two men are in love, they use the word gay. Well, that's, again, being intellectually dishonest, right? Two men who are in a relationship don't have to be in love. They don't even have to be gay. Carnal nature allows for anything. We buy hook, line, and sinker into this. Next one. Then read the stories. We've gone over the books. Gently debunk the myth that all families must have a mom and dad who live together. Well, okay, so what are you telling Johnny, who is fortunate enough to have a mom and dad? You know, I have four kids. I am so thankful, but the grace of God, they are all married. We have no divorces. I have 15 grandchildren. We don't have drug or alcohol issues in my kids' families. And we have healthy kids because of that. And I don't want any of my grandkids being told that not all people have a mom and dad. That's something we should be hoping for. If we're going to be talking about all this, you see, I'm a great believer in let's talk about it. Let's be honest about it, though. Let's use the stats. Let's figure out, give the kids the true tools, not this manufactured narrative that has nothing to do with reality that leads to destruction. Next one. Questioning gender expectations. This is, we talked about it. This lesson we'll explore. And this is right off SOGI 123, people, okay? The lesson notes the term biological sex, which is assigned at birth based on external characteristics. Well, you know, that's, again, intellectually dishonest. I mean, really, how many times have you seen a woman running around with her womb hanging out?
Never.
Oh, I'm sure there's a car accident or two that, you know. You know, this is ridiculous. Okay? That those external characteristics are not all what make us male or female. And what most people don't know, and I've been happy to inform people lately, Section 28 of the Charter only guarantees you rights based on being a male or a female. Nothing else.
Amen.
And if we want constitutional change, the Charter change, then we all get a voice in that. Next one. Okay, SOGI 123 again. Look at these new words. These are the language that they want your kids to stop start adopting. Gender expression, cisgender, two-spirit, gay, gay, transgender, ally, pansexual, queer, intersex, gender fluid, lesbian, gender non-binary. But guess what's missing? Heterosexuality. And that's where we're going. They don't want a heteronormative society. That makes for healthy societies.
Amen.
We want dysfunction and distraction. And you know what's so great about this is I just have to show you the stuff. I don't have to say, oh, well, this is what they really mean. Look at it. SOGI 123, right off their website. Next one. These are the graphs your children are being shown and your grandkids. So we're moving into another thing called intersectionality, and I'm not going to get into that. But it's gender, it's identity politics. So they want your kids to identify themselves by every disability they have, everything that works against them. And this is where we see the whole white privilege thing start coming in, right? Because we want to create division within society, not bringing people together. So now they're pitting people against each other. And as I told my Asian friends, don't buy into this white privilege because you guys make more money than everybody else down in the United States, so you're next. Okay? Colonialization and white privilege is all that's evil. Now, really, think about it. Here in Canada, we are probably one of the most sought-after countries to come and live in, right?
Yeah.
And why? Because of the things that we're now saying are evil? Go figure. Next one. BC Teachers Federation. Trust me, it's all about sex. I'm going to be doing a video on this. I'm not going to go into much here. But they want this sex-positive culture now, which is why we have sex at lunch, why we have all these people coming in and telling little five-year-olds about things that little five-year-olds shouldn't have to be worried about, okay? So make a date with me later, and we'll talk about sex, everybody. But, you know, it's never in the context of healthy relationships. It's never in the context of you know, New Zealand women are the most promiscuous women in the world. Why, I'm not sure. But now there's more psychological health issues among these women because they've had like 29 partners. And then they wonder why at 45 no men want to date them. You know, if we're going to talk about this, let's be honest about it. Next one. This is out of the BCTF, and I just want to go over this because this is what we're up against, okay, on training. The BC Teachers Federation puts out these responses to their teachers, so when you as parents complain, they just pull us out of their little training manual. We need to train our people. We need to have that, and we are starting that now. So when you know how to respond to things, we'll give you the statistics, we'll give you the words on how to fight this. You know, all these fierce words from these people, and one of the things my favorite saying is, you know, fierce words from empty minds have no edge, right? We need to get over the name-calling and all the rest of it. It's tiresome, it's boring, and I tell them that. Like, when you can come up with some facts and an argument, then engage my time, otherwise it's not worth it. So responding to resistance to teaching sexual health education in LGBTQ inclusive manner, complaints or concerns that you might hear. So we'll go to the next slide. So for instance, if you as a parent said, gay sex is unnatural, they give the response, in all populations and all cultures around the world, there are people who are attracted to the same sex. Okay, carnal nature, all the rest of it, especially if you give kids license and say there's no boundaries, there's no values, no morality anymore. Like left-handedness, it is a natural variation of the human population. Over 1,500 species of animals have same-sex behaviors. Okay, so now teachers are comparing our kids to animals? Okay, no thank you. Next one. Why are you teaching about gay sex in your classroom? I am teaching about all aspects of sexual health in developmentally appropriate manner. Excluding important sexual health information is irresponsible. Okay, I kind of agree with this one. If we're going to talk about it, let's talk about the rates of sexually transmitted diseases. Let's talk about socially irresponsible behavior. Let's talk about the costs that are associated with that, and then see what happens in the classroom. I trust you, all those safe space political flags in the public school rooms would come down pretty quick, which they need to do anyway. Next. What you're teaching goes against my religion and family values. Response, as teachers, we do not condone children being removed from our class when we teach about Aboriginal people, people of color, people with disabilities, or gays or lesbians. Okay, you see how they put in chosen behaviors, and I say it's chosen, and I want to put this, nature and nurture people. If a child at 3 years of age has been sexually abused brutally, has a dysfunctional home, there is an increased chance that that child is going to have sexual orientation issues. No doubt about it, and that is not a choice. That is a result of a dysfunctional society, that environment that that child grew up in, okay? I like Gareth Kirkby, who's the publisher for Extra. He once wrote a big article in the Extra News saying, "Why lie? I choose to be this way." That was so refreshing, right? So this gay gene thing, fortunately we don't hear too much about that, but see how they tried to slide it in under people of color, people with disabilities. Sorry, you cannot compare those apples and oranges. It is not the same thing, and nobody should fall into that trap. You can teach your child values at home. Public schools must teach everyone about respecting diversity and valuing everyone. Okay, so if that's true, then do we respect and value the kid that's abusing drugs? Right? You know, those blanket statements are there. Now, don't get me wrong. I think every school has to have the adults say, we need to have respect and kindness, and we have to have understanding that some people go through difficult times and those kinds of things. But you know what? By and large, that already happens in our schools most times. Okay? And if it's not, then the administration in that school needs to be taken to task and do a better job. Or better yet, maybe we need to get the unnatural environment of putting 1,500 teenagers together in a building changed. You know, there is that problem as well. But at this point, when we see this constant issue around bullying, and the irony to this is programs like Out in School, they admit that this is not about anti-bullying. They admit that this is a guerrilla marketing ploy to get kids to the queer film festival. We have those videos. We have that in writing. This is not about parental rights. Children have the right to an inclusive education free from discrimination. The School Act requires education in BC to be conducted on a strictly secular and non-sectarian principles. I agree with that. But you know what? The Supreme Court of Canada just came down and said a secular society respects religious beliefs. Those teachers cannot wholesale do what they want to do as far as what they view is appropriate education. Your values, your beliefs have to be reflected in the classroom as well. If parents want to have a let them at it, free-for-all sex education after school, go for it, but not during classroom. Non-sectarian, this is a political agenda. It has no business being in there, and that's why we're pretty confident that our lawsuit will be successful. The curriculum in BC stresses tolerance and inclusion and places a high importance on discussion and understanding of all family groups and relationships. Well, maybe we need to rethink what the school is doing then. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about all these kinds of family relationships. Maybe we should be giving kids the tools to be critical thinkers in a true sense, and equipping them to be successful in life. Because I'll tell you, I speak to a lot of business people, and it's getting scary out there when you're dealing with 20 to 27-year-olds. Okay? Work ethic, ability to write properly, to speak properly, communicate, and to focus are big challenges. I had one businessman say, I won't hire anyone under 32 anymore, Carrie. Okay? Except for the computer programmers, because you can plunk them away and they don't want to deal with the world, so they're good. Okay, next one. Why aren't my family traditions being included? Okay, again, especially those protected under the BC Human Rights Code. Well, hello, religious beliefs are respected and protected under the BC Human Rights Code. So we need to learn a little bit of our legal jargon and our rights, people. Okay, so we're going to just bypass a few more. Parents United Canada is an organization that works with Culture Guard. It's an offshoot. And what it is bringing parents across Canada together. And I'll tell you, momentum is just building. We hope to have 100,000 people by December. So add your names, people. It's free to join. And what it says is we're talking in one united voice protecting the rights of parents. Next. We have a girl, and they flew the pride flag over her school. She took exception to it. She was bullied viciously online. Fortunately, we have all the screenshots. She's filing a human rights complaint. If a 15-year-old girl can do this, people, you guys can get engaged, okay? Next. What needs to be done? You know, everybody goes, well, Carrie, I can't talk like you and all those kinds of things. Well, you know what? In all honesty, people, I wish I could sing and not talk, because then I could just sing nice songs and make everyone feel good, okay? My gifting is to talk, right? Not everybody needs to be doing this, but everybody has a special purpose in this. Ephesians 5:11, as I said, tells us, expose the fruitless deeds of evil. Telling 5 or 10 people about what is going on is helping. Getting part of our volunteer team to make phone calls, to help arrange meetings in these rallies, important. Writing letters to your editor, even if it's, this is really poisonous news, you should really get all the information and tell parents about SOGI123. That's a great letter. All those things can be done. Everybody has a little role to play in this, okay? There's no excuse in making a difference. Get involved politically, right? We have this opportunity. Our government right now is not going to stay stable. No way. Not with the minority government. And I made sure of it. When I found out the Liberals did this, 1 week before the election, I targeted 4 MLAs, Liberal MLAs, so that they would be a minority government. Because with a majority government, we can't do anything. With a disruption in our process, we can. Okay? We need to start. I went to the Conservative Party and I said, what are you guys going to do for parental rights? They sat down and they said, we will do things what need to be done. We will reduce government. We will give protection to parental rights. Okay? You can get memberships for $10. Add your voices. Let's build our voting block so our voice is heard. Okay? Doesn't take much. It takes $10 to make a difference. Because we will be having an election soon. And we need to have clout behind what we do. It's one thing for Carrie to be right. It's another for her to be able to speak on behalf of 20,000 British Columbians. Okay? Help us have that voice that is amplified. Help us have the voice that can hold politicians accountable. Let's do this together. Town hall meetings, please, when we have the rallies, show up. Bring three or four people. Next one. Get your email on Culture Guard. You'll get all the information. Talk to your teachers. Talk to your principal. I had a father arrested 3 days ago when he served the Declaration of Family Rights on his principal in Richmond. Why? Because they're so nervous that parents are actually engaging and confronting and saying, no, you're not going to teach my kids this stuff. So what did he do? He called the cops and had them sent to the hospital for a psych evaluation. Okay, typical tactics, people. And so I said, well, how did that go? He said, well, I guess I'm normal because they let me out. Okay, we are in a war and it's vicious and the enemy fights back and they lie and they deceive and they will call you names. But we need to stand and rise together, and that's what's happening. Next. Together our voice matters and our vote counts, but you know, when I came up with the silence is the voice of submission, it was probably about 2 a.m. I'm sitting there going, you know, what profound thing can I say? And I the first thought, silence is the voice of defeat. If we remain silent, we'll be defeated. But then I thought, no, that's not honest. Because defeat implies we actually went to the war. We haven't gone to the war yet, people. We're thinking about getting there, and that's encouraging. And there's this rumble across the land. But you know what? I see something really amazing happening. When we have 189 pastors show up and say, we're with you, that is something new that this land has never seen before. So next one. So we've got human rights case, the Supreme Court injunction. We need stories and complaints. Every time I speak, some parent comes up to me and says, do you know what happened to my kids at my school? There are all these stories happening. I need to know what's going on in our schools. You are the people to bring it to us. Let us know the stories. Let us know what your kids are having to go through. Next one. You know, this is always the problem. We are meek and mild, and yet the Word of God says that's not what we are. And you are being given an opportunity now to find out how faithful God is. You know, I look back with all my failings and all my inadequacies and all those other things, and I see what happens because one person stood, okay? One person, single mom of four kids, got mad. Don't piss off the parents. You know, that's the number one war, okay? Imagine what would happen if all of God's people stood and rallied, okay? What if we came out with one voice? No apologies for our beliefs. No apologies for walking in faith with what God has said he's going to do for this land if his people will stand. And you know, I'm going to leave you with this because I look at the time here, and I thank you for listening to me babble on here. But years ago, and I tell this story often, I live out in South Langley on a bit of acreage, and it's nice, it's kind of removed, and you know, I have this nice big pond in my backyard, and then the fence that is the boundary to my neighbors in the backyard is beyond that. And I thought once, you know, as Christians, this is where we're at. And if I got up one morning and looked out and saw my neighbor standing on the back fence, it's just looking at the fence line, I wouldn't think too much of it. But if I saw him out there the next morning, moving the fence a foot into my land, I might start thinking about it. And I'd probably think, oh, the boundaries were probably in the wrong place because I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be confrontational. I don't want to upset the apple cart. I want my neighbor to like me. And then the next morning, he's not out there, but the following morning, there he is again. And this time, he's moving 5 feet into my land. And because I'm a nice Christian and generous, I go, the Lord has blessed me. I can give up 5 feet over 6 feet of my land, no problem. The next morning, I rush down, and I'm so thankful to see he's not out there, and he's not out there the next morning. But the following morning, as I'm sipping my coffee, watching the sun come up and watching my neighbor work and dig more holes, this time 10 feet into my land, now I'm scared because he's so bold and courageous, and who would do that, right? And then eventually one morning I wake up and I go and I run to the window and I see he's looking right back at me. At what point do we move the fence back? These are our children. This is our land. We are responsible for their protection. God has entrusted them with us, and we are accountable. We all know the scripture about woe to those who would ever harm a child, right? But by doing nothing, you are harming children. And I believe we will be accountable for what we do and what we don't do. When we read 2 Timothy and we see all the problems that are going to plague us in the end times, right? Lovers of self, sexual idolatry, you know, children who don't listen to their parents, right? You ever read that and go, how could we as a society ever get there? Well, I'll tell you, that recipe is Soji 123 and where we are in society right now. Because those kids are being deliberately taught to ignore you, to undermine your authority, to undermine your beliefs. They're being told Christian faith is just regressive, old style. Look, it's been around for thousands of years. It's time to reclaim the land. It's time to protect our children. Thank you.